Konnichiwa, and welcome to the Pals Anime Lounge, a podcast where a bunch of pals get together to talk about anime. The pals are Artura.
Konnichiwa, Mina.
And Goz.
Hi.
And I'm your host, Ace. In today's episode, we're talking about Hell's Paradise, aka Hell's Paradise Jigokuraku, a series from 2023. I chose this one because the first game based on the series, Jigokuraku Battle in Hell's Paradise, has just come out on mobile and will be coming to PC on Steam as soon as it's allowed. It was supposed to release on the 1st of July, which is why this episode, we were recording this today. But yeah, they had to delay. They couldn't get it on the store in time.
I didn't know about the game. I didn't know about the anime. There's some mildly controversial stuff about it. And the game doesn't look great, to be honest.
Well, as this is a series, we'll be covering it using the 3-episode rule, where we make blanket statements about the entire show after watching just over an hour of it. It was animated by, can anyone guess, because you may have noticed the subtle logo.
Elon Musk?
By MAPPA, the studio behind Jujutsu Kaisen and the remake of Ranma Half. Every episode of this anime starts with a motorbike racing another motorbike, and it has MAPPA branding on it. It's like...
Yeah, it was super subtle. It was definitely not up on your face and didn't definitely take like 20 seconds of the beginning. It's like, come on.
I thought, oh, this is like a modern day anime. Nope, this is just a logo for the studio. Hell's Paradise currently has an Annie List score of 80%, making this one of the highest rated things we've ever watched.
Oh, nice fun fact.
Cyberpunk Edgerunners was the highest, and Fate Stay Night, Heavens Feel One, Presage Flower is tied second, because it's also at 80%. Hell's Paradise started as a web manga, which ran for 127 chapters from 2018 to 2021. The anime's second season finished airing in March 2026, and both seasons are available on Crunchyroll, as always, depending on which country you're in. My short synopsis is, criminals are sentenced to freedom if they survive. That's right.
A group of life sentence convicts are selected to go to a mysterious, fairy tale-esque island to find an elixir of life they're not entirely sure exists in exchange of their freedom.
And goes.
Amanda Waller assembles a team of imprisoned supervillains to execute dangerous Black Ops missions. Wait.
I think you watched the wrong anime.
But it's literally what happens, okay?
Is the Shogun Amanda Waller?
I guess. I mean, she is kind of a douchebag in a lot of media. And
in every media.
I'm saying a lot of media because I'm not that familiar with Suicide Squad except for the movies.
I'm confirming every time she turns up, she's a dick. Anyway. We open on some cheery decapitations, or an attempted one anyway. They're trying to execute a mass murderer, our protagonist, Gabi Maru. Then we get the titles. Quite enjoyed the title sequence. It's it went over well with me.
It's a nice one, yeah, I'll agree on that. I would like to say about the opening scene, I kind of hated the image of the guy consistently hacking at the head several times. With the narrator in the back saying, oh yeah, decapitations are hard and take several tries. You just see the guy hacking at it like it's just some piece of meat. I did not like the image that made in my mind.
There's quite a bit of distressing visuals in this.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of like this like specific description of how the certain execution works. Like, I especially like the burning one where they went all into wonderful detail. That gave me like great images in my head.
Well, we open back on Sagiri explaining Gabi Maru's whole deal to Gabi Maru, who is locked in a cell. We then cut to Gabimaru being burned at the stake, which also fails. Back in the cell, Sagiri asks him to explain his background, but wasn't she just explaining things to him? He tells her that he's an orphan ninja who was betrayed by his kin when trying to run away. We cut then to Gabimaru being torn apart by balls, which also fails.
and they just have to include a animated demonstration of how it's supposed to work.
Yeah, this is what it should look like. Oh, wow.
Yeah, I did not like that part.
In case you were wondering how getting split at your seam looks like, it gives me some Mortal Kombat.
Oh my god, I was going to make that same comparison, but when you finished, they're pretty sure there's a fatality with, I think it's the one that multiplies himself, which I think is Noob Saibot, who just grabs both of them and splits, and I was like, oh, that's Mortal Kombat. I recognize that move.
I think every single character splits you in half in some way.
Gabimaru would be a perfect addition to Mortal Kombat, all things considered.
Well, Gabimaru isn't actively trying to stay alive. His body's just so resilient that normal means of execution aren't enough. Sagiri asks again, while they're waiting for more bulls, why he ran away, and he explains that he married the village chief's idiot daughter. That's not me making a joke. He says that.
She's a bad.
Yeah, that was kind of mean. Yeah, like, she's just an idiot. Who would love her? I was like, okay, I hate this protagonist.
I expected him to start making blonde jokes. My wife walks into a bar and she says,
You wouldn't believe that. She was a total Karen.
Gabimaru asked the chief to get a divorce, and he tried to kill him. Apparently. Later, Sagiri is told that Gabimaru is also known as the Hollow, as he's empty inside, not even blood or tears, and he killed 20 men when they captured him. You know, BT dubs.
Which kind of looked like the image that they showed, like he's on the ground and he's covered by 20 corpses, and it looks like an accident. Like one of them tripped on his sword, and then just everyone else followed.
In the cell, Gabimaru admits to himself that he's kind of resisting the attempts to kill him, and wonders why. We cut to the aftermath of the next attempt to kill him, boiling him alive. Since the oil itself caused the pot to shatter, the fire spreads and kills at least one person who isn't Gabimaru.
Execution successfully failed.
they need like a scoreboard. Like one side is Gabimaru and the other is whatever, the police, and they just give a minus to the police at that point.
We cut to Gabimaru being led to an underground chamber where Sagiri awaits with a sword ready to kill him. She attacks, but he dodges, and he notices he's bleeding from a cut she scored on him. Sagiri goes on and on about people facing death, then accuses Gabimaru of something terrible, loving his wife.
No, not that idiot.
He realizes she might be right and grabs a sword, going after Sagiri. He has a flashback to when his wife was tending his wounds, and then she had a flashback to when her face was disfigured by her father. Flashbacks and flashbacks are great. She says that he can't be a Hollow because he blushes when she kisses him.
And here it's revealed that Gabimaru is just an ultimate tsundere. Yeah, she's an idiot, but I totally don't love her. Idiot.
It's not like a lover or anything.
She's too blonde.
As Gabimaru and Sagiri fight, he thinks back to what he really asked the chief. If he could stop killing so he and his wife could live a normal life. Sagiri stops the fight by holding up a pardon from the shogunate. But he can't get it until he does one little task. Go to the underworld. Not the afterlife, but an island known as Paradise. Why did she call it the underworld? Because she lists like five names and none of them are the underworld.
Yeah, and then that I believe that's just the last time it's ever called the Underworld also.
Right?
She was just trying to make him fear for his life, I guess.
Some expeditions had already been sent to find an elixir of life, but only corpses had returned. Somehow. So the next expedition would be made up of criminals sentenced to death. But there was only one pardon. To sweeten the deal, she tells him that she's found his wife, still waiting for him.
Idiot. Just find something find something useful to do instead of waiting on him. Jesus Christ.
Don't you know I've left you, you idiot? Since the guards don't want him to leave, he goes Super Saiyan Spontaneous Human Combustion.
Oh, I've heard of that one.
Sigiri then tells him that they need to go to Edo first, and we get the credits. They never go to Edo.
I mean, maybe they do. He doesn't see it. Why did you mention it then? I guess it was just a way to show his character.
Yeah, that's true. I wonder if it's like it's a fill-in chapter in like a padding chapter in the manga, and they were like, well, we don't need this, so we'll include the text the where she says that they're going to Edo, but we're not actually going to include that episode.
No, they're going to show a flashback in episode 5 to back when they were in Edo. And
which is going to go to another flashback. I like this idea.
Something will be explained, I bet.
Well, episode 2 opens on Sigiri telling the story of her dad executing a storyteller who didn't realize that he had died after he was decapitated. And kept telling a story, somehow.
He had the wind in his throat already.
She's spent her career trying to duplicate it and thinks that Gabimaru is a target who deserves no mercy, which will help her perfect it. Then we get the opening titles, and then return back onto a beach where the 37 criminals are assembled in front of the Shogun, tied up with their faces covered. Sagiri reads about them in her journal, and I'm glad I didn't bother writing these names down. The criminals are told to remove their face coverings, and some of them react like they were asked to wear a mask during the height of COVID. I can finally breathe. It was a piece of paper. Grow up. They are shown the sole survivor from the expeditions, a man who has plants growing out of various parts of his body. They're then warned that they each have an executor from Sagiri's clan assigned to them, in case they need beheading for any reason. There's a bunch of reasons, but, you know, just in case. Before they go, they're told that they can't send all of them, so they need to kill a few of each other first.
Okay, to be fair, I'm not sure if I misunderstood, but the captain was like, well, that's not what I had in mind, but sure, why not?
The most generic ones, looking ones, die quickly. And Sigiri's mentor tells her that she's not suited for this line of work. And she has a flashback to her childhood that either she doesn't tell him about or he doesn't pay attention to, because we soon return to the melee and he's looking a complete opposite direction. Three of the criminals rush Sagiri and she decapitates them, but has the same hesitation she usually does. She's stressing about that, but then Gabimaru speaks up to the Shogun and the guards, saying that not everyone there killed because they wanted to, so forcing this battle royale doesn't make sense.
I mean, they also, like, marked the most dangerous ones with something. They mentioned, like, red or mark, something.
Yeah.
So like, what the fuck are you even doing? Just send the red ones and be done with it.
That's what they intended on doing. Until they started killing each other, it's like, oh well, this worked. A guard tells someone to kill Gabimaru, so Gabimaru kills a bunch of them while saying he doesn't want to do it.
My favorite part about that scene is when he was like, I don't want to kill you. Don't make me kill you. I will kill you. So then Guy obviously does try to kill him. And then Gabimaru just lets loose his demon and kills a bunch of people for no reason. Many of which didn't try to kill him. It's like, oh.
They gave him mean looks.
I guess he's not a man of his word. Not surprised he's a, you know, convict. Stupid woman abandoner. Idiot woman abandoner, my bad.
After he went Patrick Swayze on the first guy, you'd think he would just could just step back and no one else would mess with him.
Everyone is in awe of Gabimaru's ability, and Sagiri realizes that maybe she needs to learn to live with her kills like he does, and that'll cause her less stress. The fight is called to a halt with 10 remaining criminals. So I counted 25 on-screen deaths. So that's two people unaccounted for. They started with 37.
Someone just wandered in. Oh, what's happening there? Ah!
No, two of them wandered off.
I mean, Gabimaru did break like the tent and kill them to like the water. I would have taken the opportunity to just get the hell out of there.
Everyone's eyes are on Gabimaru. You just slide all along the side. Okay, I'm free. Free to kill again. We cut to them on the boat arriving at the island, and the episode ends. Third episode opens on a load of weapons landing killing blows on Gabimaru's old chief. Then the chief grins. It's a flashback to when Gabimaru was a kid, and older Gabimaru narrates that it's because of a strange medicine obtained from overseas. On the island, present day, it turns out Gabimaru was telling this to Sagiri, and he confirms that that means the elixir of life is real. But he doesn't know if it's actually on this island.
I would like to point out that Sagiri actually did listen to him, unlike her boss did to her.
There we get the titles. And open back on the pair walking through a forest filled with flowers. He breaks the rope, binding his hands, but Sagiri insists he remain bound. While she's retying the rope, he's struck in the head by a huge metal object attached to a chain. It was a twisted Kayun trying to whittle down the competition for that pardon. But it didn't kill Gabimaru.
I don't remember him being in the battle royale in the last episode.
He was laid on his side. There was someone trying to cave his head in with a rock. No, that was the other guy, wasn't it?
No, that's the other guy. Yeah, this guy never appears. So that's one of the ones we weren't accounted for, I guess. I don't know how he was lost among the crowd being that big, but you know.
At the end of the fight, there is one who's taller than the others. Not the guy who's laid down, but there is another taller person. I don't remember him getting any, like, screen time, though, other than, oh, he's also here.
Maybe he went to the toilet and then came back and was like, oh, I guess I'm in.
Kayun brought a whole bunch of weapons with him, somehow, and he breaks some on Gabimaru while he's retying his hands, but the rest get inserted into Kayun moments later.
Oh, I think you forgot to mention the fact that he's into weapons and that. That's a very important bit of information if you're going to say they get inserted into him. I also really like how Gabimaru is like, oh, I dislocated my neck. So, you know, he's already experienced decapitation, at least in some extent.
The executor assigned to Kayun warns that some of the criminals have formed alliances and others have already tried to kill like Kayun just did. Then we cut back to the beach, where the biggest criminal kills and eats his executor. And then we see some of the criminals have definitely been killed. As the executor leaves, Gabimaru tries to kill Sagiri. He doesn't want his former clan to come to the island, which the executor said was a possibility, so he needs to find the elixir of life quickly. They fight, and he has a flashback to his wife telling him it's okay to not want to kill. As the fight continues, neither of them can bring themselves to kill the other person, even when Gabimaru has her dead to rights, pinned to the ground. He finds himself bound by emotion. Sagiri tells him that she won't execute him so long as he promises to continue trying to be a better person. Elsewhere, one of the criminals gets injected by a butterfly stinger, which makes him cut his hand off. The butterfly has a human face, and suddenly some centipedes with human fingers for faces come out of the forest, as does an attack on Titan.
I'm pretty sure they're not called that, but I don't know because I've never watched it.
Me neither. I assume that's what they're called. Oh no, it's an Attack on Titan. Breaching the wall.
I was questioning if AI designed those monsters. give me a butterfly. ChatGPT, give me a butterfly. Why does it have a human face on it?
Mandara Crunch, it'll do. No, not in 2018, it didn't.
I mean, there was like, I can't remember what the site was, but there was a site where you would input your photo and it would hallucinate elements. Like you would input a photo of a dog and it would add dog faces all over it, like a drug trip. So they might have used that.
Well, back with our protagonists, they're confronted by a giant fish monster and more centipedes. So Gabimaru moves to attack, and the episode ends.
Fish was also probably an Attack on Titan. Also, I'd like to point out, we can't rule it out. I did get the feeling that this all happened because the guy killed a human face butterfly, which I did not like that thought, that the whole island was like, how dare you?
Screw me. No, screw you. So has this made you want to check out Jigokuraku Battle in Hell's Paradise?
So at first, yes, I went to check out the game to see what it was, because I didn't know whether I like to check out the anime first and then I check the game. So I didn't know if this was one of the ones of the adaptation happened first or the game happened first. So I was like, oh, let's go check out the game. And said, like, I like the anime. And then I saw it was a mobile one and I was like, oh, I'm a little less excited. And then I saw my wife had it in her wish list and I was like, okay, we're screwed.
Yeah, I wanted to check out the game and I did check it out. I mean, I looked at it, but then I was disappointed.
I mean, yeah, there's mobile games where it's fully 3D open worlds. You're running around in third person, and then there's mobile games that are this.
How dare you say something so true?
I expected the game to be like 3D Battle Arena, like Naruto Ultimate Ninja Storm or whatever.
Well, it does. It says, relive the story of the TV anime Hell's Paradise, so it doesn't follow the manga. Supervised by Akira Kindaichi, series composer of the TV anime. It's supervised by the person who did the music. Okay. This game features fully voiced, completely original stories for every ally.
Oh. Too bad I'm going to be hidden behind Gacha, so that's still a no from me.
Yeah, I did see that there was like a visual novel element to it, so maybe if like that and it's not predatory, then it might be okay.
Yeah, the original story was by Yuji Kaku, so yeah, I don't know why they got the guy who did the music to supervise.
Yeah, that's a really interesting thing for you to realize, because what the hell are we doing? They're going to make things for based on the vibes that it'll give for the music. Ooh, I like the idea of how that might sound. The song is like, excuse me, no, this is not your area. Get out.
It's like, this game is by the producer behind this game. And it's like that, but they are so dissimilar. It's like, you're getting my hopes up by saying it's like, it's something to do with this game, but it's absolutely nothing to do with that game. Anyway, so is it a yata, nani, or baka, Arturo?
I think this is one of my most confident yatas, and I think it's one of the animes I've most enjoyed. I even stopped in episode one, and I was like, I'm going to show it to my wife. I warned her about the gore, and I was like, it's a bit gory, but I think you'll like it. And we watched the three episodes and really liked it.
Just cover her eyes whenever there's gore.
Yeah, that's kind of what you have to do with her.
And Goz, what about you?
Yeah, I really liked it. It's definitely Ayata. The biggest thing I noted is that it's very well paced and like has character development in every episode so far, which is really good.
Yeah, I also gave it Ayata. I agree, it's very well paced. When it was over, I was like, oh, it's been 3 episodes. Wow, this doesn't feel like it has been.
And that's considering the, you know, flashbacks within flashbacks.
So does it deserve its Annie-List score of 80%?
I feel it's a bit, like, small at the moment. 3 episodes in, I really like the way that they tie in the story of an executioner who doesn't want to be an executioner and a killer who doesn't want to be a killer. And it feels very interesting to see how they're connecting at that. However, I do worry about the future development of the anime, though I will say I liked each episode I watched more than the previous. So if it continues at this pace, it, 8 just seems blasphemous, and what are we doing at this point?
It's a little low. I would give it close to a 10 at this point, but I know there's some controversial stuff with it later that makes it look less serious and more fan service-y schlock. So maybe that's why the score is lower, I don't know.
Okay, interesting. There is enough of the manga left for this to get a third season, but there, like that would finish off what is what was in the manga. How many chapters? I say 127 chapters. So yeah, it's I believe season 2 gets to around 110. So maybe a movie or a short season.
Hopefully it's not like the case with Seven Deadly Sins, where the quality goes down in season 2.
I still haven't got around to watching any more of that show. I really should. I did enjoy it.
I was watching it with my wife for learning Japanese, but it's a Netflix and we have a Crunchyroll subscription, so we're like, well, we'll just go watch something else. At least I finished Gnosia. So I finally got around to finishing one of the animes we watched.
And Gnosia will, you can find your opinion on the website, can't you?
Oh yeah, 100%. Well, you can find my wife's opinion. I didn't write something about it.
You always have the same opinion.
How dare you say something so true?
Once you're married, you're just the same person.
Okay, well, that brings us to the end of the episode. Thank you, Jeremy, Atar, and Goose.
Thank you so much for having us.
Cheers.
And thank you for listening to the Pals Anime Lounge, and better yet, thank you for subscribing wherever you found this episode. You can find more from us on GameGrim.com, find us on social media, or listening to the Grimcast podcast. Sarodewa, game on.